This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world. The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Triceptor Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Triceptor Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. The discussion continues. We've talked ad infinitum over the past 8 years about the importance of sleep, its effect in the etiology of disease, and also and how it affects the development of body fat. My guest today is Dr. Josiane Broussard from Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. Her group has recently published a study looking into this, the effects of short duration or impaired sleep periods and insulin resistance. How you doing, Dr. Broussard?
Hi, Carl. I'm good, thanks.
Good. Okay. So the unique thing about this study, I see, is that you actually brought together sleep specialists and biologists to engage in this. I remember doing studies with people who focused on sleep, like Dr. Mark Rosekind and so on. Mm-hmm. But you brought a team together, didn't you?
Yes, exactly. I was a graduate student at the time, and my program at the University of Chicago was called Molecular Metabolism, but I was in this all-human sleep lab where, you know, unless you're a doctor or a nurse, you're not really doing the hands-on experimentation. So I really wanted to do more of that hands-on type of stuff I was learning about in all my courses, so that's when I approached the fat lab and said, hey, if I brought fat here, you know, could we do some experiments? And I asked the sleep people, you know, what they thought about that, and everybody was really receptive to it, and they said, all right, go for it, make a plan, and let's do it.
So really, I guess one of the big things that is always focused upon, no pun intended, when it comes to impaired sleep is brain function, memory and cognition,
exactly.
Especially as it affects memory consolidation. But mm-hmm. but you looked at this in a different angle completely, right?
Exactly. Just like you said, historically, sleep has been considered sort of for the brain, by the brain, of the brain. And this lab at the University of Chicago of Ed Van Cotter was really the first lab to start asking about how sleep is promoting whole body health.
Okay. So how was the study designed?
Well, what we did, we took healthy, young, normal, lean volunteers from the Chicago area, and we had them come in to stay and kind of live in our sleep lab for two different sessions. And in one of the sessions, they got 8.5 hours of sleep each night. And in the other session, they got 4.5 hours. And at the end of the condition, they had both an intravenous glucose tolerance test. So
right.
That looks at whole body insulin sensitivity. And then immediately following that test, they received a fat biopsy. So the strength is that the fat biopsy was done in both conditions on the same person, and not necessarily in the same order. So it could have been short sleep first or vice versa. And every single subject we studied, we saw this sort of detriment at the cellular level.
Did you allow the subjects to cross over? Or did I miss that? Did you say you did allow them to cross over? So they slept the long duration for a period of time and then the short duration, so they underwent both sides of this?
Yes, every subject did both sides, and they actually had at least 1 month between the two conditions.
A washout. Perfect.
Yes,
perfect. Very
exactly.
Well done. Very well done.
Okay,
so I act like I know what I'm talking about, right?
No, it sounds like you do. You
yeah.
Definitely do.
Oh, I'm really good at sounding good. That's anyway. Okay, so what did you find out? First of all, we think of fat as a necessary inconvenience, I guess. But the reality
right.
is that fat plays a very, very important role in the function of the body, right?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I mean, even, you know, historically, fat was thought of as just this energy depot that's kind of inert, and it sits there and it grows if you're overeating. And then during times of fasting or starvation of any kind, then it would release that fat that it stored. But actually, just over the last 20 years, people have started to discover that fat is is actually a lot more active than that. It's an endocrine organ. It's sending signals to the brain regarding energy balance, letting your brain know if you're, you know, if you're hungry, if you're not hungry. So,
like we're getting deeper and deeper into the studies that are looking at adiponectin, that are looking at leptin, and these are
all the adipokines.
Right, these are all hormones produced by your fat cells. We think of fat cells as these little bags of garbage that we would like
fat.
To get rid of, but there's a lot more. What about and just briefly, and I don't know if your group looked at this, but the different influences on brown adipose tissue versus white. Brown adipose tissue is not necessarily a bad thing. It has a thermogenic quality, correct?
Right. Right. And actually, it's still up in the air how much humans retain that brown fat after kind of, you know, exiting kind of babyhood. Basically, mice, all rodents have this brown fat, exactly for what you said, thermogenesis. And humans typically lose that fat, but some studies have shown that with cold exposure, humans can actually kind of get that brown fat back. But at this point, in these particular subjects, we wouldn't think they have much brown fat to speak of.
Now, 4.5 hours doesn't sound like sleep deprivation to most people in modern America, because I have a feeling think about it. I mean, there are children that are sleeping 4.5 and 5 hours because they're staying up late on the internet. They're going to sleep. Then they've got to get up at 5:30 in the morning to catch the bus to school, like a high school student.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You know, so 4.5 hours, I think most people probably think that is what is needed. But yet, using that metric as the short sleep duration, saw biological changes in these individuals.
Oh, yeah, and we see such a drastic impairment in whole-body insulin sensitivity and insulin sensitivity of the fat cell. I mean, it basically takes a normal, lean, healthy volunteer and makes them look like someone maybe 50 pounds heavier, 10 years older, at really an increased risk for metabolic disease development. It's kind of scary.
you know, it's funny. Dr. Rosenkind came on my show back in 2007. He's the guy who worked with the Olympic team when they were in Colorado or wherever. I'm not a big sports guy, so shame on me. But and he did a very, very brief study on elite athletes where they deprived them of sleep for just 2 days. And their insulin response was that of a 60-year-old person. I mean, it shifted so quickly. So you did this for 4 days. Did you look at it each and every day, or did you just look at it at the end of the fourth day?
We just looked at it at the end of the 4 days. So that's a really good point, because I'm very interested in the timeline of the changes and at what point certain things change. I mean, nobody knows what happens first. So that's kind of one of my future avenues of research, is to determine what's that first change. And maybe going back to after one night, short sleep. I mean, it's all kind of additive by the fourth day of the condition.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about insulin before we go into the first break, just for a moment, okay? It is loosely understood that humans, quote-unquote, produce insulin at night. But that doesn't mean we have high circulating levels of insulin. It means that the pancreas produces insulin and stores it like a battery? Or how does that work?
So you're right. The pancreas is definitely the organ that produces and secretes insulin, and it's typically in response to a meal. So when glucose comes into the blood from a meal, the pancreas senses this and sends out insulin, which tells the insulin-sensitive tissues, okay, hey, there's some glucose in the blood, open up your doors and let that glucose in. And then, you know, once the glucose is sort of taken care of, the insulin doesn't secrete and signal that anymore. But actually, at night, insulin should be very low and stable, but it's definitely pulsatile.
Okay. And isn't it interesting, when you look at the things that our body does, you can't help but think that the evolutionary process caused these things this way. So, for instance, we evolved in an environment where there was probably a scarcity of at least simple carbohydrates, and probably even some of the more complex carbohydrates, that our body has an ability to manage the bottom end of glucose management. So in other words, if blood sugar starts getting too low, we have a mechanism to deal with that. So hypoglycemia is dealt with, but hyperglycemia is not. We probably did not evolve in an environment where the body had to go, okay, the highest we're ever going to let sugar get is this. And as a result, in my humble opinion, we modern dietary standards have caused us to make the way the pancreas works in conjunction with the liver and other hormones kind of obsolete compared to the way we eat today.
Yeah, it's definitely, evolution definitely programmed us to protect against those periods of, you know, when food is really scarce, like you said,
right,
during times of fasting, and we have a much better, a quicker response to regulate if we go, you know, if we go too low in glucose. But you're right, if glucose is going too high, it's going to be a long time before we really see the damage, whereas the low glucose, right away, the body's taking care of that.
Yeah, yeah, and the response is really a bit more crude. I mean, you get this big pulse of insulin, it pushes sugar down, then you have this tug-of-war that ensues after that, trying to maintain blood sugar levels, because it pushes down so far that quite often people become hypoglycemic after an extreme hyperglycemic episode. Let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to dig deeper into the research. We're talking with Dr. Josiane Broussard from Cedars-Sinai Medical Center about their research that really is an important piece of research for those of you struggling with your weight, yet you stay up late. And this is, women are the worst defenders of this. They do the laundry in the middle of the night. They have all these things that they have to do before they get up in the morning, get the kids off to school and get to work. This is an important subject. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. The cornerstone of longevity medicine is preserving or improving telomere length by increasing telomerase. Telomeres are the repair kit for your DNA. Maintaining DNA integrity is an important factor in staying young and disease-free. If you're like me, a telomerase activator isn't optional, it's a necessity. The only clinically proven telomerase activator in the world is TA65. That's why I take TA65 every day, and you should too. You can learn more about TA65 by visiting tasciences.com. That's tasciences.com.
People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetic. Kinetic Cream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetic Cream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rub Kinetic Cream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away, not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetic Cream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetic Cream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Josiane Broussard from Cedars-Sinai about their recent research looking at the effects of short-duration sleep and its effects on insulin sensitivity, specifically to fat cells, which is really intriguing to me. So here's what I want to do before we get deeper into the study. Clear up this whole... Give us the Reader's Digest version of what insulin does as it relates to fat cells. Most of us think that when insulin spikes, it makes fat. But there's a more delicate dance there, isn't there?
Right. So first, I'll tell you a little bit about how the fat cell is working in the body. We talked about it a little bit before, but kind of more in response to meals. So the fat cell is releasing fat into the bloodstream all the time. So there's kind of a circadian rhythm of free fatty acids that are going around the blood, and that's so that different tissues of the body can use it if necessary. And what insulin does when a meal comes in, insulin is signaling to all those cells that need glucose. So they're saying, hey, food is here, the glucose is in the blood, go ahead and put your receptors or sort of the doors to the cell at the surface and let that glucose in. So that's what it's telling to the cells that take up glucose. What it tells to the fat cell is, hey, we don't need that fat right now. We have a meal coming in, so turn off the free fatty acids. And so insulin actually inhibits free fatty acid secretion from fat cells. So when insulin resistance occurs, so that means that none of those cells or tissues are responding as well to the insulin. So they're sort of not listening is like what I like to say. So the insulin has to turn up the volume to get those cells to listen in the same way they would have before. So it's the same thing with the fat cell. If the fat cell is releasing fat and the insulin says, hey, we don't need that anymore, we've got glucose here, well, if you're insulin resistant, that fat cell is not going to listen, and it's just going to keep secreting the fat.
Okay, so now, and this is where I kind of got confused. I have been operating under the premise that keeping insulin low, which actually has an effect on increasing insulin sensitivity. Because just like you said, I always use the analogy on the show. If you ever went to a concert, you know, and you sat really close to the stage, and
right.
you left, your friends had to yell just to, for
exactly.
you to hear them. And so your cells have been too close to the stage for too long. And
exactly.
now insulin,
that's okay. a great metaphor.
Okay, so, but here's my confusion.
Right.
If insulin resistance increases the secretion mm-hmm. of free fatty acids from fat cells, why don't resistant people become skinny and lean?
Right, because you think the fat cells are kind of putting it out there.
Right,
the fat.
Right.
I mean, there's so many kind of contradicting things going on, but what ends up happening is that the insulin will end up yelling louder. So that eventually, and that's sort of what's so detrimental, is the insulin isn't just going to accept that the fat cell is not listening or the other cells aren't listening. They're going to ratchet it up in this sort of cold war between tissues. So they're going to say, nope, you better listen and stop that production. And so over time, it ends up promoting obesity.
Okay.
I mean, if there's always an intake coming in.
And obviously with some of the more recent research showing that many types of cancers thrive because they have additional, I think they're GLUT4 receptors that cause them to be hyper consumers of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
This insulin resistance not only leads to something as aesthetically unappealing as fat,
mm-hmm.
but it's also the biological dangers of fat and also potentially cancers. So
right.
this is, and we know that shift workers have a higher degree of various types of cancers, colorectal cancer, breast cancer, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
We know that people have impaired sleep, that they're working shift work. They
mm-hmm.
develop these cancers at a higher rate than the general population. So clearly there's a linkage there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a whole huge new field is the links between obesity and cancers of different types, for sure.
Okay. Okay, so now we have a better feel for what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
How reversible was it in the group And can we extrapolate out from this to say, look, if people who have been chronically deprived of sleep start correcting their sleep over X period of time, they will start to see biological changes?
Right. That is the big question, and that's the research that needs to be done, because we, with these subjects that just had the 4 nights of short sleep, after 2 nights of recovery sleep of 10 to 12 hours, they were able to recover their whole body insulin sensitivity. We didn't do another biopsy, so we don't know if there was any type of lag in that sort of fat cell recovery.
Right.
But at least for this study, they were able to regain their whole body insulin sensitivity. But over time, just like, you know, maybe you can make up a week of short sleep, you might be able to pay back that sleep debt in the week over, you know, a 2-day weekend.
Right.
But as it gets carried out longer, you can imagine if you cumulatively are short 50 hours of sleep, you're never going to make that up.
That's a scary thought when you say you're never going to make that up. You know,
I think
that you can make it up, but it's going to take a heroic effort on a person's part to completely revamp their lifestyle and not just for a week or two, but possibly for like a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
we've
done shows, we've seen people reverse type 2 diabetes, which I don't even like to call it a disease. I like to refer to it as a condition, quite frankly, because it is quite reversible. Mm-hmm. For some of the stuff that we're talking about right here plays a role in it. But we see people who, in order to get off their metformin and their insulin and all that sort of stuff, they have to do the right thing for a consistent good year.
Right.
And then all of a sudden the body goes, okay, this is my new normal. I can get used to this now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the people, there's a extremely high prevalence of sleep apnea in people with obesity and type 2 diabetes, and that's a whole different ball of wax than short sleep. I mean, then we're talking about sleep quality itself, and that can have really, really negative impacts.
Well, and I think that's a chicken and egg discussion.
Exactly.
There's a lot of research out there that shows that individuals with obstructive sleep apnea also have subclinical hypothyroidism, and it's thought that because the thyroid is a ductless gland, the tissue closest to it experiences higher levels, kind of like the concert we were talking about before, and as a result, it gets used to these higher levels in order to produce the energy that it needs, and the soft tissue in the back of the throat is one of these culprits, that when thyroid hormone starts to drop, the rigidity in the muscles up there start to drop, and then also a greater degree of fat deposition occurs, and it leads to this obstructive sleep apnea. And I predict that, and again, I am not accredited, and I do no research, so I can say stupid things, but I have a feeling that sleep apnea begets insulin resistance and not vice versa.
Right. Well, that's what the sleep research field would also, you know, I think lean towards. My lab at Chicago, we had done, even before, you know, long before I was there, they did studies where they took, again, normal, lean, healthy people and just fragmented the sleep. So it didn't even bring in the hypoxia or sort of that choking, not breathing feeling. And those people who kept the sleep time the same but just fragmented, and those people also had these huge decreases in insulin sensitivity.
Which is really scary because, and this, you know, coming strictly to women for a second, but as women become perimenopausal and menopausal, one of the greatest things that declines is quality of sleep. You talk to women who are menopausal and my mom is
always dying over that. Exactly.
Oh, and unfortunately you can't, I mean, I know we're looking at insulin, but looking at insulin is like looking at the tuba section in an orchestra and trying to understand how it influences all of the other instruments. And the reality is that when women start going through menopause, glucose management becomes a real challenge. And a lot of these women go through periods of hypoglycemia at night that cause these frequent awakenings. And then it's a vicious cycle. And then the next day, their blood sugar's whacked out. And it blah, blah, blah. And it just goes on and on. And these poor things, they don't get any good sleep.
Yep.
I mean, it's a terrible, terrible scenario.
Mm-hmm. A vicious cycle, exactly.
I would wonder, I have a suspicion that taking man-made sleep aids, and I use that specifically because I know melatonin has some beneficial effects, but taking man-made sleep aids like pharmaceuticals do not, I've said on the show numerous times, closing your eyes for 8 hours is not the same thing as good sleep for 8 hours.
Right, exactly. And even most unfortunately, most of those sleep aids are, I think, you know, they say on the box they're giving you an extra 18 minutes of sleep per night statistically. I mean, something
really
so low. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say, I mean, I don't even know exactly which, but that on the box is even saying, you know, here you go, 18 extra minutes.
Wow, that's shocking. All right, look, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about the ratio of insulin resistance that you guys discovered between just whole body insulin resistance and the fat cells themselves. It appears that fat cells think they're special. We're talking with Dr. Josiane Broussard from Cedars-Sinai. Very, very important discussion. If you get anything from this, it should be this. Sleep is a lot more important than you think it is, so stop fooling with it. Get it in good place. Get it to where you have great nights of sleep, and your health will pay you. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com today. For the first time ever, Need to Build Muscle has introduced a fat burner that is so sophisticated, you'll realize why it took them so long to bring one to market. IntuBurn is here. Through multiple pathways and agents, IntuBurn increases thermogenesis, turns on brown adipose tissue to consume even more energy, modulates blood sugar, while insulin-mimicking agents keep insulin from spiking, stimulates beta-adrenergic activity. Heck, even the coating on the tablet contains cinnamaldehyde, a potent appetite suppressant and insulin regulator. While other fat burners focus on one or two of these pathways, IntuBurn does it all. Go to NeedToBuildMuscle.com today and start shedding fat now.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at Wise Choice Medicine. Or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro Series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Never before in the history of muscle gauge nutrition have they ever been so generous, and this is only available to the Superhuman Nation. Now get 25% off any order when you use the coupon SUPER. Save on sports performance supplements like creatine, BCAAs, Huge Impact, and their flagship product, Whey Isolate. Save 25% off weight loss products like Trim Down Advance or Gauge Lean MRP. Or check out their line of multivitamins formulated for men and women. Whatever you want, Muscle Gauge has it. Go to MGNstore.com and use the coupon code SUPER today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Josiane Broussard from Cedars-Sinai about their recent research looking at impaired sleep durations and its effect on, specifically on insulin resistance of fat cells, which is, it really intrigued me. Whole body insulin resistance was affected by 16%, yet fat cells by 30%. Were you amazed to see that?
We were amazed to see such a drastic change at the cellular level, but as far as the fat cell itself, we did have an inkling that the fat cell itself is quite vulnerable to sleep loss, potentially even more vulnerable than other tissues. And the reason we thought that was because previous work from that lab in Chicago from Ed Van Cotter has shown that short sleep also leads to reduced leptin levels.
Mm-hmm.
So that leptin is one of those adipokines coming from the fat cell to send the signal of satiety to the brain. So because we knew that that was coming from fat cells and that was reduced from a previous study, we hypothesized that the fat cell might be right in the mix of it.
Now, earlier in the interview, you invoked the all-powerful circadian rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty well understood now that the suprachiasmatic nuclei, which regulates hormone production, has a possibly more important extrinsic role, and that is it actually kind of fine-tunes the affinity to the target receptors for these hormones. So it not only makes hormone levels out of whack, but then it causes them to be less effective in imparting their desired effects. So has your group looked at any of this information as it relates to suprachiasmatic nuclei?
Not at the University of Chicago, but we do collaborate a lot with labs at Northwestern. So Joe Bass and Fred Turek and Joe Takahashi in Texas, they're doing a lot of this circadian rhythm research. And yes, you can have differences in hormone levels, different circadian rhythms of hormones, but also, like you said, different rhythms of the receptors to those hormones themselves.
And this obviously plays a role when we talk about hormones and receptors. I mean, we're talking about insulin receptors as well, right?
Right, and the brain, that's sort of the master clock, the SCN that you referred to.
Right.
And then that master clock is sort of getting all of the tissue clocks in sync. So there's also circadian clocks in every single tissue that has thus far been studied.
Really?
So that's another, oh yeah, that's a really interesting whole complicated other story.
So each cell of your body has its own clock that is then kind of synchronized by the master clock. But if the cellular clock gets out of whack and thinks it's day instead of night, you can then have, and see, and I've always suspected this.
Yep.
You can actually have situational tissue-specific changes that are not observed in the whole body. I had a feeling of this years ago, and I used to say on the show, you ever see a lawn, and it's beautiful and green, but it's got this one spot in the center that's yellow and dying, and you go, gee, I water it, I mow it, but why is that one area, and because something different is going on under that area, and I've always suspected that there's in situ tissue changes that are occurring. So maybe that's where it's from. When did they discover these cellular clocks?
That's fairly recent work. I mean, the last 10 to 20 years starting to look at circadian rhythm in the tissues. And there's some really cool adipose-specific circadian work coming out of Louisiana and Jeffrey Gimbel's work down there. But yeah, it's really interesting because if you think about a shift worker whose, you know, SCN clock is correct with the light cycle. I mean, if they're, you know, if they're seeing daylight and they're working at night, then if they're eating on the totally opposite schedule, then their fat cells and their liver and other organs are actually kind of on the wrong clock because they're eating at this wrong circadian time. So there's a whole mismatch of signals coming in.
So actually when you eat, it plays a role in the synchronization of the clocks.
Yes, and that, there was a really cool paper that came out a few months ago, I think, or maybe last year, from this group at Northwestern, Fred Turek's group, and that showed that just feeding mice at the wrong circadian time led them to gain more weight over time than, you know, their sort of cage counterparts.
Now that's really intriguing because there's a large faction of my audience that are professional athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And a go-to standard that I've always suspected has more damning effects to health than the beneficial effects to building muscle. But a go-to standard of many people in my audience is to go to, and I'm guilty of this too when I was powerlifting. I did this myself, and it's not easy, but having a protein drink sitting at your bedstand.
Oh.
So that you either wake up by clock, or you happen to wake up to use the facilities, mm-hmm. and then shaking it with some water and drinking it down in the middle of the night, having 40 or 50 or 60 grams of whey protein. Now, both the problems with that is, number one, you're eating in a non-locomotive period, so your mm-hmm. body is going, hey, we're getting food in the middle of the night. Number two, whey protein has been shown to be metabolized very quickly and stimulate gluconeogenesis, which can actually convert right to blood sugar levels in mm-hmm. in the body in the middle of the night. So mm-hmm. I would imagine that's probably not a wise thing if your health is the most important thing.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Wow. That's really amazing. So why did the sensitivity of fat cells respond so much more, almost twice, a twofold change in insulin resistance than just the whole body insulin resistance?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, we really don't know at this point how these changes were sort of imparted to the fat cell, these sort of sleep changes. But that's definitely the next steps in the research, is to start to look at exactly how the signal is being transmitted to the fat cell. There's some suggestion that there's probably a direct innervation of the sympathetic nervous system. So potentially, you know, the signal is really coming directly to the fat cell. That's one idea.
Wow, that's really intriguing. Now we know the brain is made of fat to a certain degree and cholesterol, and we understand all of the cognitive changes that occur as a result of poor sleep. Do you think that the changes in the brain are more a result of energy management and metabolism as a result of possible insulin resistance?
Like the body changes come first to feedback?
Well, no, the brain becomes insulin resistant and doesn't metabolize glucose properly, and it can't function properly.
Yes, that's another line of research from our lab in Chicago, is looking at whether there is reduced blood glucose utilization during sleep deprivation, just because your cognitive function is decreased. And there's another, like I said, group looking at whether or not during sleep restriction, maybe also your hunger centers in the brain are more active than they would be during normal sleep conditions. Yeah.
Well, also, we know that, I mean, severe hypoglycemia can cause a coma. We know that. Okay?
Right.
But even, there's a lot of evidence out there that even mild periodic episodes of hypoglycemia can cause small damages to the brain.
Oh, definitely.
And so if you have people that have brains that are insulin resistant, for lack of better terms, mm-hmm. even though there may be, and again, we're talking about situational, specific tissue changes, your body may be, has what would be considered an adequate amount of blood sugar running around, but it can't get in to the cells in the brain. So the brain, as far as it's concerned, it's hypoglycemic. And these periodic, regular hypoglycemic episodes actually could cause some of the problems we see in dementia and mm-hmm. other neurological disorders that occur in the mm-hmm. brain.
Right. And I just read a paper that talks about these little hypoglycemic events that, you, like you said, people become less sensitive to them the more often they occur. So you're, like you said, you're having these little damages are occurring, and you're less and less noticing them, basically.
Wow, it's really a tough situation. All right, we're going to take our last commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to wrap it up. We're talking with Dr. Josiane Broussard from Cedars-Sinai. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Over 35% of all men over 20 will struggle with painful chronic prostatitis at some time in their lives. Relaxin is a novel dietary supplement shown in a preliminary retrospect study to be more effective than antibiotics at relieving symptoms of chronic prostatitis. Relaxin is safe and effective for men. If you suffer from prostatitis and don't want to take powerful drugs, antibiotics, or risk procedures, give Relaxin a try. Go to bioadvantex.com to learn more. That's bioadvantex.com. Stop living with embarrassing pain and symptoms associated with chronic prostatitis today. Get Relexin, R-E-L-E-X-I-N.
Two of AgeForce's most popular transdermal patches are now available as a buy one, get one free. The Testo 100 Testosterone Boosting Patch has the most comprehensive assortment of clinically proven testosterone boosters, including androstenedione trione, the aspartic acid, and stinging nettle root. The Power Patch has 25 milligrams of real growth hormone per patch. Now get a two-month supply for the price of one of either patch, or combine them both for greater results. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the AgeForce banner ad to learn more. Build muscle and burn fat with increased testosterone and growth hormone with this buy one, get one free offer. People who are looking for performance and health benefits turn to WayNaturalUSA.com. WayNaturalUSA produces the only whey protein from Amish grass-fed cows raised right here in the USA. You cannot get the same quality whey protein anywhere else, period. WayNaturalUSA is cold-processed through the patented Chill-Rite process, so all of the undenatured fractions of whey stay intact. There's only three ingredients in WayNaturalUSA: grass-fed whey protein concentrate, organic flavor, and stevia. Nothing else. Go to WayNaturalUSA.com today and find out what you've been missing. WHEYNaturalUSA.com. Mass Pro Synthogen is unlike any supplement to come before it, both in form and function. Synthogen is the world's first messenger RNA translation accelerator. Messenger RNA is the rate-limiting step in growing new muscle. Synthogen rapidly stimulates protein synthesis on demand, day or night. Synthogen allows you to train harder, longer, stronger, and more frequently than your competition. Synthogen is the absolute fastest drug-free recovery agent available. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Synthogen banner ad to learn more. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Two of AgeForce's most popular transdermal patches are now available as a buy one, get one free. The Testo 100 Testosterone Boosting Patch has the most comprehensive assortment of clinically proven testosterone boosters, including androstenedione trione, the aspartic acid, and stinging nettle root. The Power Patch has 25 milligrams of real growth hormone per patch. Now get a two-month supply for the price of one of either patch, or combine them both for greater results. Go to superhumanradio.com today and click the AgeForce banner ad to learn more. Build muscle and burn fat with increased testosterone and growth hormone with this buy one, get one free offer.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. Okay, we're going to pick up the interview with Dr. Josiane Broussard from Cedars-Sinai. Was there a gender-specific difference in the effects of impaired sleep and insulin resistance?
In our study, we did not see any gender-specific differences, but that's also likely due. We wouldn't have been powered to see differences because we actually only had one woman in the study.
The only reason why I say that is because you point to protein kinase phosphorylation as playing a role in insulin signaling, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And we know that creatine has it amplifies some of these effects, and men produce a bit more creatine than women do. And so I was wondering if women succumb to these changes in insulin resistance sooner and or to a greater degree.
Right. Yeah, that would be a good avenue of research to go down. It's really difficult in our sleep studies to get a lot of women as subjects, only because the insulin sensitivity changes with the menstrual cycle, and so these studies have to be so well placed. Exactly. So it's very, scheduling-wise, it's very difficult.
Well, you just have to let the women live together for 3 months, and they'll synchronize.
Right.
Like they do in offices, that's all.
Yeah, exactly.
The other thing I have a feeling is, and I, you know, we've done so many shows with about research that requires biopsies, and mm-hmm. Let's face it, nobody wants a needle stuck anywhere to
right.
extract a little bit of tissue.
Right, so, that's another possibility. The women may not be as open to kind of a biopsy, though there was no scarring. So that was
no, and there never is. I mean, people don't right. think, when they hear a biopsy, they think of somebody taking, you know,
a
knife or something. And no, it's a needle. It's
right,
just a needle. That's all it is.
Right.
What do you hope that people take away from your group's research here?
I would hope that people just really start to, especially people in the medical field, start to understand that sleep is really, it's not just a luxury. It's something, it promotes whole body health. It's not just for cognitive function, and it's really benefiting all of your cell types and all tissues in the body.
So doctors should start asking their patients, how many hours a night do you sleep and how well do you sleep on a scale of, you know, 1 to 5, so that they can ascertain if people are sleeping long enough and or if people are getting good quality sleep. And I have to be honest with you, all my visits to doctors, mm-hmm. especially when I was at my sickest in 1998, mm-hmm. Which prompted the development of this show, my doctors never asked me how I was sleeping.
Wow.
No.
And, I mean, actually, there's validated questionnaires they can use as well that can give you an idea of both the quality and the quantity and whether or not someone is at risk for apnea or, you know, things like that.
What's the name of those questionnaires? Could you tell me? Do you know? Do you know?
Actually, there's so many. There's probably 5 major ones, but I could send them to you. Maybe you could put them on the website.
Yeah, I'd like people to be able to do it.
Bring them to the doctor.
Yeah, that's now you know where I'm going. I was going to say put them up on my blog, and people can download them and do a self-test and then go, wait a minute.
Oh, yeah,
I need to bring this to my doctor. Something's up.
Oh, exactly. Okay, that would be great. I can send them.
Yeah, because I have to tell you, one of the most confounding problems that we have as a society today is the lack of good sleep. I mean, it's an industry in and of itself. Mm-hmm. And everybody complains about not being able to sleep. My God, look at the abuse of caffeine. I mean, people get up in the morning and they're not even functional until they have a giant 20-ounce
right.
cup of coffee.
Right.
So,
yeah, we have a 24-hour society, like you said, and sleep is, I mean, on average, sleep has gone down by 2 hours just in the last 50 years. And that's a worldwide problem. So definitely, yeah, we have to get control of it.
Yeah, and it's sad. It's sad because there are people out there who have no choice but to, like, work
exactly.
a graveyard shift, right?
Exactly.
So
yep. My brother's a night shift worker.
See? Does he get, is he angst-ridden over the fact that he understands what he's doing to himself but he has no choice?
I mean, it's funny because you'd think I would be on him about it, but I think he's concerned. But again, like you said, how much can he be concerned when there's nothing he can do? I mean, that's the sad thing is,
yeah,
you know,
it is sad.
He tries to protect his sleep. He tries to get back to normal on the weekends. But then if you're rotating back and forth, that's really tough. And then sleeping in the day, no matter what, you're going to have a reduced quality.
Oh,
sleeping in the day.
Even with blackout drapes and
exactly.
aluminum foil on the windows and taking a good dose of melatonin, your body still knows that it's daytime
yep.
out.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
The best thing you can do is to actually just fully switch. If you're, I mean, that's the sad thing is then you miss out a lot of family activities and social things. But health-wise, the best thing you could do is just completely flip your schedule so that all your SEN, your brain clock, your body clocks, your eating schedule, they're just 100%, you know, as if you live in Australia. But nobody wants to do that.
No, but I have to believe that it requires some supplemental intervention, such as taking melatonin, because we know that the mm-hmm. body produces melatonin starts to at dusk.
At night.
The photoreceptors mm-hmm. in the eye. So you're going to have to hijack
really have
that
to
system.
Control the light.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
control the
and
light.
Exactly. And even then, you're driving home from work probably in the light. So no matter what you do at work and at home, you're probably still going to get that flash of light that inhibits your melatonin.
This is so sad. You know, the CDC claims that we have obesity will be at 50% of the population by 2030, and it looks like we're going to beat that prediction. Mm-hmm. Diseases are chronic diseases are on the rise. Many of these chronic diseases, one of the affecting factors is poor or lack of sleep, mm-hmm. and it's amazing because we can't get people to protect their sleep. Today we just it's shocking to me,
right?
I mean, I go to bed at 9 o'clock every night. I'm in bed at 9. I read mm-hmm. for a little while. I go to sleep. On the weekends, I do the same things, except in the rare occasions like last night, I stayed up for the debate.
Right,
but staying up till 10:30 is like a huge challenge for me because I'm so sleepy. I want to go to bed,
right.
And you know, I mean, it's just
the
amazing.
Good thing is that once you've gotten on a schedule like you're saying yours is, you're so sensitive to even a little bit of sleep restriction that then you really feel it. Then you say, oh, that I feel terrible. I'm going to go back, you know, make sure I get my normal sleep. But if you're constantly sleep restricted, then you almost forget what normal feels like.
Yes.
So you have kind of a new normal, and you don't realize how much you're hurting yourself.
And I feel like H-E double hockey sticks today.
Yeah,
I really
exactly.
do. You know, my brain is not with me. I feel sluggish. You know, I'm down 2 cups of coffee already. With no,
I might as well call in sick if I get 6 hours. I mean, my best friend and I, we joke about, we congratulate each other when we get 12 hours of sleep on the weekend.
Is there too much sleep, you think?
That is a big question in the field, because there's a U-shaped association between sleep duration and mortality risk over time. So above 9 hours, starting to get, you know, starting to see some of the same risks.
But isn't that one of the flaws in epidemiology? Those people who are sleeping 12 and 14
right.
hours typically
there's
are sleeping because they're not healthy.
On.
Yeah, they're not
exactly.
healthy.
Exactly. There's some underlying disease probably going on that kind of skews that data. So nobody really knows now. Personally, I love sleep, so I hope that there's no danger to oversleep. I don't think you can really oversleep when you're healthy, but
I mean, look at a dog. A dog will sleep all day long if you let it, you know what I mean?
My dog sleeps 23 hours a day.
There you go. And they and they live their entire lifespan, and I bet your dog is nice and lean too.
Oh yeah, she See? Is absolutely.
It makes a big difference. Listen, Josiane, I want to thank you so much for making
yeah,
time to come on the
this
show.
Is great.
Yeah, and keep us posted on some of your future research. This is such an important topic. It should mm-hmm. be something that every mainstream media outlet should be promoting. And unfortunately, they're the ones that are helping to cause the problem because they're on at 10, 11, and 12
right.
o'clock at night. They should be,
then
you know,
again at 4 a.m.
Look, I'm 54 years old. I remember a time when stations signed off at midnight.
Mm.
You'd watch Johnny
and
Carson.
The beep.
That, yeah, they would. Yeah, they, yeah, exactly. They put the test pattern. First, they played the national anthem with the flag, and
yep.
then it went to test pattern and a tone. And it was like, okay, I gotta go to bed now. There's nothing to watch. And,
right.
And you know what? That was a blessing. Who knew?
Yeah, you're right.
Who knew?
Now everyone's on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
All night, but yeah.
Okay, listen.
Yeah, I mean, it's free. It's
yeah.
like sleep your way to health. It's
I know,
easier than
I
diet
know.
And exercise.
I know. I know. You're right. You're right. Listen, Josiane, yeah. thanks a lot, okay?
Okay. Thanks,
okay.
Carl.
Okay. All right. So there you have it. Great subject. You must get more sleep if you want to be lean and healthy. If you're not already doing it, please work hard to do it. We've got a great show planned for you tomorrow. I promise all the guests will show up. Thanks for listening.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is...